Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you PNLP? This is the Premier Non-League Podcast.
We're back.
Hello, boys. Long time no see. Well, Trev, I've seen you over the summer for us on a special. Is that an excuse of a sport? That thing with the red ball and a bit of wood or something? Baseball? Oh, no. The UK version. What is it, Chris?
It's cricket.
Oh, yeah, that thing. Yeah, that thing that takes up most of TV over the summer, which is to my utter disdain. But he's back. You all right, mate? How are we doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well indeed. Hope everybody's fitting well and enjoying this balmy summer we're having.
Yeah, I mean, as you can probably see on the camera, we're all bloody roasting right now on the last day of probably summer right now, because the storms are due, I think, any time in the next couple of days to cool it down. But it's episode 35, boys. Can you believe? Bloody hell, 35 episodes already. And by the end of this season, it'll be probably up to at least, 55, 60, 70 maybe?
Yeah,
it'll be incredible. A long one. Chris, did you have a chance to listen to any of our summer specials?
I've listened to Pockets, and I find it very difficult to focus on football during the cricket season.
Can I just pause you there? That you're a contributor to this podcast, and you said you've listened to Pockets. This is meant to be a promo. I meant to say, and if you haven't listened to if you have listened to them, like Chris,
let me finish. I like to have a proper summer, winter type of old fashioned cricket season, football season kind of split, and. I'm a very busy man during the summer, and what I've heard is excellent. It's been really good. What I would say is, if I was a non-member of this team, I'd be thinking these guys are well worth a follow. I think, you know, these guys know their stuff. They've got getting some good guests on. This is good. This is good crack. It's impressive, very impressive, and you've kept the wheels turning, as they say, in the likes of my absence and whatever. Very, very good indeed so far.
Oh, thank you. I mean, very good. As we said, we wanted to start a little bit different this summer, because last year we didn't really do anything. We did have a true summer break, but we thought, let's have a go. Let's change the podcast up a little bit and do some specials where it's just talking in conversation with people from around the football. So if you haven't listened, we've had Mark White, who's the chairman, owner and manager of Dorking Wanderers, who are now smashing it they're doing well in the National League after two fixtures. One draw, one loss so far. They've been on, obviously, BT Sports, but they've risen throughout the ranks of non-league. We've had Rich Phippen, who films Mark and a bunch of amateurs on the YouTube channel. We've had Jimmy Dean for Peterborough Sports, another sort of story where they've got to a higher level. Joe Benn, the sort of amazing goal scorer of Littlehampton, his Wembley journey this season. And we finished off with Adam Summerton, the voice of non-league. So, you know, those people, as Chris said, we have had so many followers. Trev, how many have we had over the summer? Probably another quarter, at least a couple of hundred followers on Twitter.
And, 94... in the last month, I think we've had.
Yeah, just in the last month alone.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Up to 642, I think we are on Twitter at the moment. And the posts on Facebook, when we shared them across the Facebook groups as well, we've been reaching around 9,000-10,000 people on pretty much all of the five summer specials as well.
Fantastic.
It's quite hard, as we've said many times on here before, to follow the exact numbers, just because we use a platform that it's quite hard to get the numbers. But I can tell from most of the platforms that Mark White's episode was one of the most streamed episodes we've ever had of all time. We are hoping in the next month or so to move to a new platform. We'll talk about that later, and we'll be able to keep track of the figures and what we're doing even more so. But let's move on. We've done our specials. That's in the past. That's in the summer. It's now football season, season three of the Premier Non-League podcast, episode 35. Obviously, myself, Trevor and Chris are here tonight. Pete and Gaz are not available to join us tonight, but they'll be back very soon in the season. Busy summer, guys. I mean, Chris, as you were saying just before we came on there, you like, or you just said it on air, I think, you like to sort of have the traditional summer of cricket, a summer sport. So have you got much pre-season in once you've been up north and enjoying the sunshine?
I've got one pre-season game in. Because of the cricket, I don't do pre-season Saturdays. But I got to the game against Heaven Town, who play in the level below us. So Ronnie, who does the Mariners podcast with me, he got to two different games. And the difference, you know, the difference between what we had at the end of last season and what we've got now with South Shields, it's really like the old adage, chalk and cheese, really. Incredible the work Kevin Phillips has done over the summer with the help of the new recruitment manager, Joe Monks, and of course, ultimately, the support of Jeff Thompson, the chairman. He's made some astonishing signings. So everybody is excited up here. Really, really excited. Yeah.
Well, we'll touch on South Shields in a minute, because I'd like to put to your point that Jimmy Dean made about, you know, turning professional still, and obviously you're mm-hmm. professional. So we'll touch on that in a minute. But Trev, as Gaz quite rightly commented on your social media, I think, in the past week, for someone that hates pre-season, you've done quite a lot of pre-season this year, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
But is this because of your daughters getting involved in the football now? I don't know if you know this, Chris. You know, obviously last season, his daughter's childcare, his daughters are loving it now.
Brilliant. I saw that.
Yeah, a little bit before the Lionesses won a few Sundays ago, they were wanting to go to games, which is, as I say, the first time they've really shown some interest in it. The eldest one went to Wembley last season when Littlehampton played, so she's got a little bit involved in it. A lot of her school friends go to watch Littlehampton as well, so that drags her along. But they can't get enough of it at the moment. It's draining my bank. It really is. it's keeping tea bars and burger bars in profit. I'll give everyone that. Yeah. I still don't like pre-season, but I've changed my view on it. I think because of the way I do the blogging, I'm looking at it from a different point of view. You know, I completely understand the game's there for the players and the managers, for fitness, for formation, for tactics, technique, everything. There's nothing there for us supporters apart from seeing who the new guys are running out in your shirts. But I think because I look a little bit more analytically towards things these days, you understand that a little bit more. And a lot of the times I've gone to games, though, pre-season, though, is within reason, because there's someone I know as a manager of a club that I've not spoken to for 3 or 4 months. So there's a chance to go and, you know, to get to see them, get in early as well, you know, before the season starts. And at the end of the day, again, it is a game of football. And I think as well, in a lot of cases, I found last year as well that, you know, when you get to the 60-minute mark, there's a raft of substitutions and the game just goes to pot because you've got almost a second string out. And I found last year, I think, where everyone came back after two stop-start years, that everyone had the real bit between their teeth, wanting to play, wanted to show. And I think that showed again this year. Even I went to one last Tuesday, Corinthian and Cray, and neither side had kicked off their league season yet. And it was Corinthian had obviously got quite a few first teamers playing, but they were still both, you know, a fair smattering of trialists on both sides. And it didn't ruin the spectacle of the game. But, you know, you still got players 4 or 5 days before the last set starts to kick off, still looking for a club as well.
I think it's fair you say that, because obviously, you know, as you know, I went to, I think, well, 3, 4 maybe of Worthing's pre-season games, all at home, because just convenience. And you know what you guys know what my job's like. It's not always going to be throughout the season I can get to every Saturday. So, you know, I make the most of it when I can. But it's not a flat atmosphere, because it's nice to see. But I think I've looked at it more from an analytical point of view this season because of the podcast, because of the, you know, the work we do around the long league. It's interesting to see, obviously, he's chatting to you, Trevor, and your blog and everything like that. But, you know, I find these teams with so many trialists now, it's quite hard to follow. And you can really see if they are and they're not gelling. And sometimes I think we get our hopes up. Like Worthing had a great preseason. I mean, we beat 2 football league teams, bearing in mind it was their second string teams, where we beat Swindon, I think it was 5-1 or 6-1, and we beat Wickham 5 2, I think it was, or 5-1.
5-1, I think.
5-1. I think Swindon was 6-2. And you think, doesn't really matter. But there were some players that played in that Wickham Capital One Cup, whatever it's called now, the Carabao Cup squad in that first game of season. So, and one of them was the next Worthing player. And you think, if we're playing that well, we were chomping at a bit to get going. And whereas last year, where we went, started off in Ismin, and I think it's like you said, Trev, you know, everyone was chomping at a bit to get back. We had two disrupted seasons. As you know, we don't need to go into the stories of Worthing and South Shields. We all know where we were. Obviously, Worthing went one step further than South Shields, but we were all chomping at the bit to get back to action. And Worthing kicked off the season quite poorly, being knocked out of the FA Cup, a couple of, like, you know, but Bank Holiday Monday defeat to arch rivals Bognor, you know, a couple of other rubbish results. We were like, Christ, have we just hyped ourselves up this pre-season for nothing? But I think this year I've looked at it from a different point of view. I've enjoyed pre-season a bit more. It's not my favourite. But, you know, we've had to, we'll get onto the National South and how the season has started in a little bit. But I found that it was a little bit more enjoyable, but still had that flat feeling. I just couldn't wait for it to get going.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's just one of those, we have to put up with pre-season. As you say, it's for the players, it's for the team. And, you know, the manager needs to see this one out. And quite a lot of the players that impressed for Worthing pre-season have actually gone on to sign terms with Worthing. So it's quite interesting to see. But like the summer specials, pre-season is behind us. Let's move on to South Shields, because you've had enough Southern accents over the last couple of months with our specials. Chris, let's just take it back to the end of last season. For those that, I'm sure you don't need reminding, but obviously heartbreak for Shields. And it was the semi-finals, wasn't it? And you got knocked out on penalty shootouts where, you know, a little bit like England the previous year, the England men's team, we had the opportunity to win the game at the shootout, but unfortunately it went a bit Pete Tong. I know, obviously, talking on our WhatsApp group and everything like that, it took you a little while to get over it, but you quite quickly got over it. And you know, you did say to us, you thought that, you know, maybe it's time to rethink this pro like situation. Yeah. Are we actually going to get up to the National League North with the current structure of the club, the way it's being run? Is Kevin Phillips the right man for the job? Is there much dead work? And I did mention it earlier in the podcast, but Jimmy Dean, when we spoke to him in the summer special, he was saying he thinks it's ridiculous for a club at your level to be professional, which, you know, I'm sure you can echo the sentiment at times, because are you really getting the best players for that money? Yeah. Whereas if you went to that part-time model, you could be getting 10 times better players. Now, you've said you're quite happy with the signings and the way the squad's looking. What's changed? Like, why do you think you've got these players, and what's different from last squad? How many have you replaced? How many has been changed? What's gone on up north, apart from a new stand opening?
Nine players have come in. As it stands, 7 have gone out. 2 have gone out on loan in the last 4 days. There's a new head of recruitment, a guy called Joe Monks. And I podcasted with the South Shields management team on Friday, and they couldn't speak highly enough of Joe. Basically, we've remained professional, but if it makes sense, we've gone more professional, in the sense that we've actually signed professional footballers. We haven't signed full-time players who steal a living. We've signed proper professionals who get the crack. We've signed Gary Liddell, who has more than 700 senior professional appearances at centre-back. We've signed 2 centre-backs who are what I like to call units. They are huge. So we've put that wrong right. We've basically signed about 4 from Hartlepool. So we've signed 4 lads from either Hartlepool or York City. And they are proper players. And they haven't come to South Shields for a payday. That was clear the moment they signed. We still got last year's dead wood. We've released the 7 gone. But out of the 7 who have gone, I can't think of anyone who I wanted to go. The 3 who I want to go are still there, but they won't be there much longer, I'm sure.
So that must be a bit of frustration from you, because as you said last season, there was some real deadwood, and you used it already tonight, steal a living. You know, they are probably what Jimmy Dean was like sort of pushing at and sort of hinting at, that these are players that are useless, but they use the term of professional football.
They're not useless. They can play, but they play when they want to play. Trev, you know JJ Hooper, he's one of them.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, one of them actually has worked hard this preseason. Mutumba Musanga, he's gone on loan to Stafford till January. But Kevin Phillips has said he's not part of his plans, just isn't the right fit. But to be fair to him, he's put a good shift in over the summer. Fair play to him. I wanted him out, but he's done it. You know, he's worked hard. It's just, that's all you can ask for. And the other one's Cedric Main, who he really is stealing a living. And he's been injured since the first day of pre-season. He tweeted in May from Holland that he was undergoing rehab to get himself fit. He tweeted video footage of his rehab in at the Dutch FA. And it's rubbish. It's absolute rubbish. He's still injured. Plays when he wants. FC United Manchester wouldn't have transfer listed him last October had he been anything reasonable. Good player, good footballer, but plays when he wants. So ultimately, the difference being this thing about being full time. I don't agree with it in many ways, but I'm happy with the fact that we've actually gone even more professional, probably paying more money, but hopefully we'll recoup some of that when we get rid of the deadwood. But we've signed proper players who want to play, who want to work hard. The fitness levels are through the roof. Unbelievable. Kevin said at the end of last season that he couldn't believe how we weren't fitter than the opposition being full-time. And it wouldn't happen again. And these lads, Jordan Hunter, the fullback, he's got his body fat down to 6.5%. They are
got any
fit.
Tips?
Don't drink like we drink.
Yeah,
James,
that's true.
You know, we drink
to be honest, lot. I know with my diet, I would have lost more weight if I just stopped that beer. But how hard is it not to have a beer with football? I mean, yeah. If I went and had a gin and tonic or a glass of red or something on a match day, I think first of all, it'd be gone within 5 seconds. And secondly, I don't think it'd really work as well on the terraces. But I digress. But so Chris, you obviously, you looked at it with positivity last year, so we can't say anything's different. Obviously, you were very positive at the beginning of last season. You were up and down throughout the season. It was kind of an ongoing joke at one stage. Does Chris believe that South Shields will be promoted? It was a bi-weekly question, and it was probably 50-50 the amount. And unfortunately, as we all know, we were supporting you. And it's sad not to be sharing that journey with you. But yeah. Do you feel, although you're positive last season, what I'm trying to say is, really, do you feel that there's a different feel about the club and you reckon you will really be pushing up for the title? I mean, should you be winning champions?
Yeah, definitely. There's a different feel. I went down to the club a few weeks ago to pick up my season ticket cards. And there's a kind of like, we mean business feel about the whole place. You know, the new stand is fully open now. Mm-hmm. So the boardroom's open, club shop's open every day. Because it's manned via the staff who work in the boardroom. There's just a professional feel. We mean business, and I think, without wanting to put any pressure on anybody, I'd be disappointed if we didn't win the championship by 8-9 points. I think we've signed proper ballers, you know. Look, I can reel it: Gary Little, Tom Broadbent, Michael Woods, Martin Smith, all these players that they're really, really good players. Who've played at Hartlepool, they've played at York. We've signed Lewis Alessandra from the Football League. Bit of a striker. He's never played anywhere other than the Football League. He signed last week. It was a late deal. Kevin Phillips thought he... Oh, you've got me. I've been trying to think of where we signed him from.
What was his name?
Lewis Alessandra. Apologies for not knowing. It's gone from the top of my head. But he's only ever played in the Football League. And again, it was you think, oh, has he come to Shields for a payday? But
he played for Carlisle last.
Yeah.
He's played at Plymouth. Notts County, Hartlepool, York, Rochdale, Plymouth, Morecambe, Chester, Oldham. Not bad career.
Yeah. He's had a Football League career. It's just the way these lads talk compared to the way the lads we signed last year talked. And also, 90% of Kevin's transfer business was done about 5 weeks before pre-season even started. So, there's a real we mean business attitude. Lee Picton, who was joint manager with Graham Fenton, who became chief executive, is now back as a coach. So he's back on the grass. And there's a great dynamic between Kevin, assistant manager Wes Brown, and Lee Picton. Lots of energy, lots of knowledge, experience. They've just got it. To me, they've got it right. The consensus among fans is, yeah, they've got it right this time. They know them. There was a root and branch review conducted at every level of the club in May and early June, and they've put a lot of things right. And the fans are naturally excited, and we all are. It's, yeah, fantastic.
Brilliant. Chris, you just think there was a massive hangover from those two seasons where it just didn't happen, that was basically, that was it for the 12 months of last year?
No, Ronnie and I caused a bit of a kerfuffle last, I'm going to say February, maybe early March, in our Mariners podcast.
This year, wasn't it? Yeah,
it was this year. We got wrong. Not didn't get wrong, but we kind of upset the chairman.
Yeah, but you said what you needed to be said. You're an independent podcast. This is it.
I just think, because my closing gambit was, we had the blueprint and we threw it away, because the COVID season, the full COVID season, we were 10 points clear. We were going to win the league by a street. And Graham Fenton decided to break that up. I don't get why he did that. He changed so much in terms of the style of personnel, not just the personnel, it was the style of personnel. And he made those signings that I believe he got wrong last year as well. The players who I've mentioned previously. So I don't think the same mistakes will be made again. And the attitude of the players is first class. First class. And we were excited, really excited.
It's good. We're going to obviously be following along from the Premier League podcast side, because we want you to be up in step two with us. Before we move on to Barnett and Worthing, just a little catch up on them. I read that you've got a new walkout song by a band called Big Romance called This Feeling, a local band. Mm. Now, I know it happened at Worthing a couple of years ago. One of the gaffer's friends wrote a song, We Are the Rebels, which I think gets an airplay because, it's not a bad song, but it was slated by quite a few of the vocalist sort of supports. Now, changing things, you've got emotions behind goal music, you've got emotions behind people. Like, it happened at Charlton when we had the new owner, he put his own song, he wrote a song about Charlton and replaced the Red Red Robin, which has been our walkout music for like over 100 years. How was it received, and like, what are people thinking about it? Just a little bit of a lighthearted end to the combo.
So the idea started because Jeff Thompson, the chairman, doesn't like, because for the last whatever years we've walked out to Thunderstruck by AC/DC.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of it, if I'm honest. I don't like it.
Bit of an odd choice, but
yeah. But it's what it was. But Jeff didn't like it, and Jeff Main, who is our PA announcer, but also helps run the All Things Mariners page on Facebook, a great Shields fan, good friend of mine. He's a big follower of local music, well, music in general, but a lot of local music, with his colleague on All Things Mariners, Stu Rounthwaite. And it was just like, I think it might have been one of those light bulb moments. But one of the members of Big Romance, his dad is a season ticket holder at South Shields. And it just kind of snowballed a little bit. We thought that a local band could write the song. And the lyrics are really, and some of the lyrics are about this lad's dad's South Shields background, his love of the club, his love of his town. So it's been received reasonably well. There's been, on Saturday, I noticed on a couple of pages that some people don't like it, and it's not good enough. But unfortunately, the PA system blew a fuse on Saturday. So the song wasn't really played. I think it needs to be given time. It's a good song. The lyrics have proper meaning. And it's just nice to get a good local band a little bit of publicity.
Are they famous? Like, oh, they've made any music waves, or they're just a local band?
Yeah, they're all good band. They're not famous, but they're good musicians.
Yeah,
they're young lads.
Yeah,
and I just think it's not a bad song. It's good. So, look, but you will get people moaning. There was a lot of moaning. Oh, I think it's rubbish. We should have this. We should have that. We should have this. And about as the page went on, as the replies came in, you had about 25 different songs. You think, well, no, that's crap, and that's rubbish, and that's crap.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, no, we've had all of them. You know, South Shields historically used to walk out onto the pitch at Simonside Hall to a tune called "March of the Mods." So it's time for something new, something fresh. I think the idea itself is a good one.
No, fantastic. Yeah, I have to give it a listen. So it's called "This Feeling" by a band called Big Romance. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube.
Yeah, it's on Spotify.
There we go. Have a look at it. Have a little link.
And it's been produced and ultimately engineered by engineers who work with U2 and all kinds of artists. So it's properly done.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So should we talk about that league that you didn't quite make last season? So is that a bit of a bitter stab in the back there? A bit of a thing like that.
That was delighted for Worthing.
We know you do. It's just just a little josh in there. But we should talk about National League South, Trev, before we move on to Barnet. I know you've gone to probably a couple more Worthing games than you usually would in pre-season this year. We've had chats. You like what you see. We've signed some good players, I think, and players with experience that will hopefully cast us a good strong sort of points tally in the National League South. It's unlike Chris. It's one of those things that no one at Worthing knows what to expect. It's new ground. It's new grounds. It's a new league. It's no one knows. You know, all I would say from the boys, I'd just like to survive. But I think we'll do better than that. I really think if we play well, we could easily be in the top half of the table, cement ourselves in the National League South. It'd be brilliant to be where we are now at the end of the season. We're currently fourth in the league after two games, but you can't really say anything about that till you get to probably at least October, November time when you start to see things. But Trev, from watching the games alongside me and everything like that, what are your initial thoughts of the squad? I mean, a 1-1 draw with Dover Athletic, relegated from the National League last season for obviously their points deduction, and a 4-2 win over Welling, who obviously struggled last year, but you know, they're a sort of National League sort of, they've been in and around the National League for a long time. It's not a bad start, is it, by the Rebels?
No, it's a very, very good start. I think, though, as we've spoken, and I said to a couple of other people as well, the game against Dover, though, showed that, you know, you step up one level, you take your chances. If you don't, you end up with a defeat, or, you know, or an absolute thumping. It can be, you know, the margins are that much smaller. And I think signing those experienced players that Adam Hinshelwood's done will help greatly. They've been around. They've been in that division a long time, a lot of those players as well. You know, they should help the crew, excuse me, you know, that's already there. But then you get young Joe Rye that steps in, 18 years old, has a man of the match performance against Dover, and then scores on Saturday at Welling. It's, you know, you're starting to get the stuff of dreams already, you know, only two games in.
Yeah, it's crazy because, you know, we've the ones we signed, Chris, I'm sure you kept an eye on, you know, listeners, is we've got Adam El Abd, who's played for Brighton. Yeah. Jake Robinson, who's also played for Brighton, and he's been a professional. The unfortunate thing about Jake is that, unlike the first game of last season, certain Alex Parsons got injured and was out for the rest of the season. Quite a bad tackle on Jake Robinson, who also scored in that game and was pinging him in left, right, and centre throughout the preseason. He's on the injured list, and no one knows what's going to happen. But we've got some brilliant signings. We lost one of our key players, Jasper Pattenden, who was one of our wingers, who signed for Wickham, and he was brilliant last season. I would love to have seen him in the National South. So I think he would have teared it up. But, you know, we've got some really, really good, strong players with Callum Keeley, who was on loan for us. He's got National League. He's got National South experience. We've got Charlie Tanning, Kane Wills, who's Dorking, Dan Bowery, who signed from Kings Lynn. I think that was quite a big signing for us. Jake Robinson, as we said. We've got Nordibek Bobomurdov, that confusing one. It's going to be a nightmare for Pete to pronounce. And a handful of other signings. And, you know, I think Adam means business. I think there was a few people that weren't 100% sure signing a lot of the old, because a lot of these players are in their 30s, and you think, but they've already shown that. I think in this league you need those experienced heads to sort of calm the youngsters down and lead with example.
I think, sorry, I'm going to butt in. I think you need that at that level, the level above and the level below.
Yeah.
That's what South Shields have just done. You know, they've signed proper players. What I would say is that one of the dynamic of non-league football is completely different to 25 years ago, 30 years ago. These lads now are fit. And if they've looked after themselves properly from the age of 16, they might be 32. But in real terms, if you go back 30 years, they're the equivalent of a 28-year-old. So you're not just buying experience, you're buying quality as well.
Well, that Jake Robinson, before he was injured, he was running around like I'd say a mid-20s would. He was so fast and, you know, he never seemed to be out of breath or anything.
Yeah. Well, Gary Little, who's just signed as centre-half at South Shields, he's 36 or 30. You know, he's immense. He's just, he literally cantered through the game on Saturday. I don't think he broke sweat, even though it was sweltering. Yeah. Didn't look like he broke. He wears a long sleeve. You know, even in that heat, just didn't break sweat. Brilliant.
I thought you know him as a tough, Chris.
I think he's from like about 30 miles south, so the further south.
He's really a southerner then.
So you mean, yeah, but I thought I'd seen a picture of Chris in his miniskirts on the tune in December. Is that not right?
No, not me.
Oh,
maybe.
No.
Are you sure? 25 years ago, maybe.
There we go. No, but as Trevor said there, I think, you know, one of the things Worthing can have to learn this season, take chances, because I'm sure Trevor could agree, you know, Worthing probably could and should have won that game against Dover, missing a penalty, missing two sitters. We could have been 3 or 4 up by the break. But, like, you know, I think maybe the moment got too much for players and we were lucky at the end to come away with the point. Great save by our goalkeeper, Harrison Mayle. But it's going to be a fascinating season. It's literally like a science project. It's going to be interesting to see because no one knows what to expect. And I think not only being a fan, I think we're all going to be excited to see how far they can do and what we can expect from the season.
I think every league underneath the National League itself is going to be so interesting all the way through because you've got clubs now at places where they should have been 2 years ago. They're at the level they should be punching at. And underneath that, everyone else can breathe, can expand, can play because those clubs are not stifling their growth anymore. They're all where they should be. And it's going to be fascinating. I mean, already in both the South and the North on its own, two games in, there's clubs in places in the table I'm looking at going, hang on, that's not where I had you, you know, two games ago. And, you know, we are only two games in and, you know, there's such a long way to go. Things can change, you know, so drastically. But yeah, I think it's going to be great all the way through from one to six this year.
I mean, how many times did we say last season, Worthing, like, so when he comes to, just get out of the league. We want you out of the league because, you know, we know you're best in the league. You just need to piss off and multiply, basically.
Yeah.
Go forth and multiply because we want to get our teams up there. Chris, sorry, mate.
Well, but also, if you look at the National League North, you know, clubs like Darlington, York City, these clubs are naturally, you were classed as big clubs.
Yeah.
So the competition is just getting more and more fierce. Blyth Spartans, for instance, who struggled historically over the last 4 years, played one game and sacked the manager.
Yeah.
I mean, what's that about? And you think, well, one game in, they must have had someone in mind, in place.
Very strange.
But they haven't.
No.
They put out adverts, and they put the advert on Twitter, which allowed the likes of you and I to apply or take the piss. I mean, it's just ludicrous, you know. But Blythe are going to probably not, I don't want to say get their comeuppance, but they're going to find themselves wanting because they are not at that level when you consider how many clubs are now really trying to be successful.
Yeah. It's true.
So fierce, so fierce.
No. Is we'll wrap it up on the Worthing bit before we touch on Barnet. I do think an interesting comment from Saturday's game at Willing. I wasn't there due to work to family reasons, so it wasn't work for once. It's family, niece and nephew's naming ceremony. As I said to you, Chris, very good.
Ceremony, AWOL.
Very good.
AWOL he was.
AWOL, as Trev likes to wind me up drinking. On the Twitter account.
He was drinking.
I was actually, yeah. My wife said, well, it doesn't make a change when you're acting the twat at the weekend, but you're not at the football, you're drinking at a naming ceremony. that's the wife for you. They're so lovely, isn't she? Oh, my darling wife. But no, I think one of my friends did say to me that they were talking to a few fans in a bar, Welling obviously being in the National League for a long time, and they did say, you play like that for the rest of the season and have that intensity for the game, you'll find yourselves up there. So that's what's going to be interesting. Can we keep up that intensity? To put four past Welling United is pretty good. I mean, it could have been more again. So I'm excited to see that.
The only thing that concerned me, James, was the pegging back from you know, it was a little bit again, you know, you've got to take your chances at one end, but you've got to shore it up at the other end, because every week are you going to be able to score four.
Yeah.
And if you're letting twos and threes in, you know, you've really got to, you know, really look at it.
No, and I'm excited. It's going to be, I can't get all aggy because it's a new league this year, so we can't do that.
James, can I just ask, I know it's only two games in, have you noticed any difference in the match day experience?
To be fair, we've had, like, obviously I've only done one home game in the National South, so I can't compare for away games yet. And I've got a couple coming up in the next sort of month and a bit, which will be interesting to report back on. But Worthing have listened to the fans. We've got a new bar manager, and, you know, we've had plenty of conversation on this podcast over the past year. Pete and I and our frustrations, even Trev and Gaz at Worthing on a match day experience, like the queues to get a pint and everything like that, queues to get food. So what Worthing have actually done, which, you know, hats off to them, it's good. They've got a new bar manager who's run pubs before. The girl before, I think, had just run social clubs and, you know, I think she'd run lower non-league club bars, so where you're not going to get the crowds. But the new guy has, we've got a new outdoor bar area, so there's a new sort of fan zone which is made out of a shipping container, which is going to cover over in the winter with like tarp and stuff like that, and possibly put some screens out there, have some tables, which is a great little area. They're pre-pouring pints, which helps the queues massively, because the previous bar wouldn't do that because they'd worried it go flat, but everyone's trying to say they're not gonna go flat because you'll sell them instantly. They literally just need someone pouring, someone serving. So on that part, and the food option from the club has been sort of taken down a little step, and they're actually getting street food stalls in, which may be a little bit Dulwich Hamlet on us, a little bit hipster, you know, for football. But as we've said on here before, we know that some of these like Instagram pages, you know, any sort of funky food gets a little follower or a tweet. So we've had, so far, we had a pizza, Napoli pizza style, wood-fired pizzas. We had burgers two times, and we had a burrito sort of wrap, tortilla wraps on one game. So feedback was good. There wasn't massive queues. So yeah, apart from that, if it keeps up, then it's going to be great. Because we had, I think, what was it, Trevor, on the first game? Was it 1,500?
1,506.
Yeah, we had 1,506. So, you know, to actually not have to queue for more than a couple of minutes to get a beer at half time, it was brilliant. So fingers crossed it keeps up.
Excellent.
Yeah, because we know we'll be critical on it on here if it doesn't. And I'll be critical on it on our own podcast. But
yeah,
I'm a listen.
South Shields with a new stand open means the new bar's open, which means you've got the servers inside the bar, but also there's a serving hatch on the outside. It looks
so nice. I am very jealous. Oh. And I showed our club shop lady pictures of your club shop, and bearing in mind we're still under a pop-up marquee gazebo on a match day, she told me we won't repeat it on air in case, but yeah, she told me to take that phone and shove it where the sun don't shine. But yeah, that's one thing I hope we do soon. But we'll touch on another aspect of the match day experience, on that first game of the season against Dover, because it was quite sour and I think the club could have acted better, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Barnet, Trev, is it going to be another one of those seasons? Or are you quite happy? Or...
No, we're third. Stop the count. Stop the count.
Stop now.
We've had a nice start. Yeah.
feel positive or, you know, signings?
Oh, miles better. Miles better. Yeah. You know, the one biggest thing, stability of having a manager over the summer for the first time in, what, three seasons, I think. You know, recruitment for us started last November, honed it down to, I think it was 100 and something players by February, and then by the season's end, sort of the end of May time, they had 50-odd targets of players they wanted to bring in. Tony's backed him. Tony's given him the budget, even actually increased it on last year. So he trusts Dean in what he's doing. And they're giving us a nice buy one, get one free season ticket offer as well, which I took up. I'm not going to get to every game, but, you know, at that price, of, you know.
How much was it?
It's 400 for one ticket, roughly. So between two of you, it's 200 each.
Oh, that's not bad.
So, you know, if you went to every game, it brings it down to a level of 20 quid a game, which is what you should be paying. Still don't think we have the match day price right. It's too expensive. You're not going to get your floaters in and your odds and sods, you know, deciding to go to the Hive for a day. But, you know, the club seems to be moving far more in the right direction than it's done for many a year. And there's still a few people, I've got to say, it makes me laugh. On Saturday, we played Gateshead and we were 2-0 up at half time, but we didn't play well at all. And they pegged us back in the second half, same as Dagenham did to the you know, to Gateshead the week before.
Yeah.
But a few were losing their heads from as far as what I was concerned. You know, we aren't going to play well for 46 games. That's impossible. Those players will be playing at that level if we did. And we're two games in, not 42 games in, and we've chucked away 2 points in a promotion lead. I think, you know, and it's not just, I wouldn't just point it at Barnet fans. I've seen fans up and down on Twitter at the weekend, absolutely, for want of a better word, losing their shit on two games in. And you think, Christ, what's it going to be like, you know, 10 games in when you really start to understand where your team's going to finish or who's, you know, who's going to do what. I, you know, I just think there needs to be a little bit of realism. You know, we're not going to be the, you know, we know we're still two players short, striker and a centre half. You know, and he's desperate to get both in, Dean is, but, you know, it takes time. It's not that easy, but, you know, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen overnight. You know, this time last year, we had no points after, I think, we had 2 points after seven games when Kiel went. We got four already after two. Now, if that ain't progress already, you know, and I like the fact people are getting humpy at us losing a two-goal lead, but if you're going to be 2-0 up and play badly and still come away with a point, you know, I really ain't going to grumble at that. I'm not.
If you average 2 points a game, that's kind of playoff football, isn't it?
Precisely. You know, started with a win at home. Win your home games. Don't lose your away games. You know, that's it.
It's one of the topics you were going to say, though, Trevor, about you brought up in our WhatsApp group, you know, about fans getting angsty and sort of, you know, getting a bit aggy already. I mean, I can't really say defend anyone for that because I was exactly like that last season with Worthing. Obviously, it's a different scenario at Barnet and other clubs. But do you think it is the sort of like, you know, that sort of difference between pre-season? Because we all know the pre-season, you can never take that into the season. And I think Worthing, I might be wrong. I think we didn't lose a game, but we chose to drop a game and let some other, I think it was Littlehampton. No, we lost to Littlehampton, but that was the second string sort of side. Yeah. But we didn't lose any game. I think we drew at Selsey and we let them have the trophy, the out-turving cup or something like that.
Yeah,
I think we let them have that because we didn't want to take it into penalties and extra time. But obviously that puts you into good stead and thinking, wow. And it's the same last season for Worthing. We beat teams in the National South quite convincingly a couple of times, where Bear is at Tunbridge and it was Welling, was it Welling United Welling, as well last season?
Yeah.
And that, but they were two clubs at the time in a bit of turmoil. So do you think it's because people see this unrealistic expectations from pre-season when a team does well and then goes into thinking we should be smashing the league and, you know, they're just too excited and too excited? Because I'm sure the amount of times Pete last season when I was on commentary with him had to tell me to calm down, stop getting so aggy because I was getting so annoyed at losing and to stupid games. Do you think that's part of it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we played St Albans away the Saturday before. Dean rested a couple of players who'd been training on 3G for the entire time of pre-season. So you know, with knees in mind, he rested the pair of them because they would be back on the grass on the Monday with a week to go. About 60 minutes in, he started pulling players off in preparation for Saturday, and we lost 2-1. And again, everyone's losing their heads. And I'm like, doesn't matter. It's pre-season. You know, what would you rather? We don't turn up next week against Halifax and we lose, but we've beaten St Albans in pre-season. What does it matter?
Yeah.
We get to Saturday, we beat Halifax. Nicky Kabamba scores the second goal. Absolute mustard, apparently. Fast forward 7 days onto that to Gateshead, and Kabamba's a donkey. You know, I just, it really does
get on my
goat. It really does. Yeah. You just think, you know, if you think before you tweet, because sometimes I just look at it and think, do you know what? Sometimes I think I want to respond and not go into another time. No. I think I'm going to respond to that because that's just it's stupid. I know everyone's got an opinion on everything, but, you know, take the 4 points we've got, you know, and to put it into perspective, not one team in the National League after two games has won both games, you know? So I think, you know, I look back at what people have tweeted, you know, earlier in that game, and I think, you know, you look at that end stat, only two sides haven't picked up a point yet in 20 out of 24. It's going to be such a difficult league. Yeovil took a point off Wrexham. I have Wrexham down as a banker in the accumulator. Yeovil showed me nothing at Scunthorpe the week before. You know,
bloody Hollywood FC ruining your acca.
Tough. Well, no, there was more than that. York and Maidstone didn't help either. But you know, it's a tough league, and you know, none of us have got a God-given right to win every game. Not even Wrexham. You know, simple as that. And that, you know, goes for every level. But you know, I'm quite happy. 4 points in. We play Yeovil tomorrow night. As we're recording on a Monday, I'd expect to win that one. Woking Saturday at home, I think will be a bit tougher.
And I think you know, Trev, that you know, you look at teams like Wrexham. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with them this season, because we obviously they were never nothing against the club or the fans, but they were never our number one cup of tea on this podcast just because of what's happened and like the money got in. And I think they did. I think the Hollywood guys did think they could walk the league and be in League Two this season and with trophies and stuff, and they haven't won anything. I think it will be an interesting. How long do you think they'll give Phil Parkinson? Like, you know, okay, they're just outside the playoffs right now with 4 points. They haven't lost yet, but how long are they going to give Phil Parkinson? And if they're not smashing a league, is it Christmas? Is it like earlier on? Is it?
Good question. Because I've been having a few chats with a few people at Barnet, and I think Phil Parkinson, Paul Cook at Chesterfield, and Kevin Mayer at Southend are the three that are going to feel the most pressure this season. You know, literally because all three need to get out of that division with the clubs they've got, and only two of them are going to make it. So someone's going to miss out.
Potentially two, could be none of them.
Yeah, potentially. You know, you've got a lot of clubs up there as well that will fancy, Solihull will fancy their chances. Dagenham need to have a real go this year. You know, and there will be a few others that will be in and around. But I think Parkinson's having had a year, having bought even more players in the summer and better players than were at the club last year. Personally, I don't see how they fail to get up. I really don't. I think the only way they won't do it is if they shoot themselves in the foot. Ask me again after 10 games where they are, and then I can tell you whether he's got time or whether he hasn't.
Yeah, I think we'll be keeping a close eye on them this season, mate. I mean, we haven't got Ian like to be defending them anymore, have we? He had a little soft spot for Wrexham, but it will be interesting to see, because I think rightly or wrongly, they've drawn attention on themselves because of who owns them and what's happened the previous season. And the fact, I think they, no one ever came out and said it, but I think the Hollywoods did think they'd walk that league, and with the money, and, you know, they'd smash the FA Trophy, and fair play to Bromley for winning the FA Trophy against them at Wembley. And, you know, fair play in the playoffs, you know, as Adam Summerton said, it was one of his best ever matches he commentated on, because it was just absolute carnage.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be an interesting thing. I think there'll be a few teams like this season. Obviously the others, as you mentioned, Southend, you know, they're going to have big pressure on them, Chesterfield, all that, just to see if they can get out of this league. And, you know, there are other teams you said are going to be around there.
Yes. Definitely.
Sorry, Chris. I thought you put your hand up there. He's doing that teacher's yawn, isn't he? Like yawn and stretch. Is that how he met his wife? A little yawn and stretch like that, you know?
No, not at all. That's another story for another night, mate.
Guys, I'm just going to touch on just when we wrap up sort of the National League stuff. I mentioned it in the chat group earlier, and I didn't realize this. So, Chris, when you give highlights of your game, are they normally out the same night, or are they out the same day, or the next day?
So normally the goals are probably out that night, maybe, I don't know, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And the highlights are normally out between lunchtime and mid-afternoon on a Sunday.
Okay. So I'm not sure if you're aware, and you'll have to use this hopefully, about the national stuff. Yeah, it's something none of us expected, and quite a few of us were quite surprised because, again, as we said before, maybe the communication from Worthing, I love Worthing. I won't, I love Worthing, but I sometimes think the communication at club could be better. A lot of us are waiting for National League South highlights against Welling, even if it was a draw, but it's just a moment. I think we were expecting them on the usual Saturday night or Sunday morning. Worthing never put them out at the same time. It's either right away if the you're into replays on it, or it's the next day, but it's never been. So on a Sunday, someone said to me, one of the chat groups, does anyone know about the highlights? Are we getting any, or was it filmed yesterday? One of the other guys put in, and I wasn't aware of this, that because BT Sports are the official rights holders of the National League, it doesn't mean National League South and North. Despite the fact they don't show any live National League South or North games, clubs are not allowed to put out their highlights until Monday afternoon because of rights. Now, to me, that kept me thinking, first of all, how is that fair? I can understand the National League because they do show some things on there, but the National League South and North, they don't show any matches. If they were doing matches, then fair enough. Why are we not allowed to put the highlights out on a Saturday night or a Sunday? Like, how is that fair, Trev? I mean, you've had more experience in National League. Like, how does it make any sense? That's what I'm sort of trying to put out.
It's called playing with the big boys.
Yes, but you know, you look at the other leagues, and I know it's all filmed by Sky and the EFL and stuff. But you know, you can see our highlights instantly, and that was one of the things that non-league clubs are quite good at. A lot of the clubs got them out quickly.
Yeah, but The EFL and the Premier League will have their own separate deals, won't they, with the broadcasters as to what they do. Obviously with BT, they want first access to everything so that Vanarama can get it out quicker. If you go onto the Vanarama Twitter site, you'll get the goals quicker as well. It's obviously something in the contract they've signed, and it binds the entire National League, not just.
Yeah, but the clubs film them themselves, though, don't they? It's not like paid for by BT. It's not like BT send a camera down and film it themselves.
No, but like I say, that's the contract that the National League have signed. You have to abide by it.
Do you think it should be changed? Chris, what do you think about that? From an outsider's point of view, what do you think about it? You said you don't like it. Like, what do
I don't
you
like it at all. If the North and South were being... If the goals from the North and South games were in the highlights package on BT... on a Saturday night or Sunday or whenever, fair enough. But if they're not, then those clubs should be allowed to put their highlights out at least on the Sunday.
Yeah.
Simple as that. They're not breaching anything, are they? They're not breaching anything.
And this is where sort of my point is, do you think there should be a National League highlight show? Because with the interest in non-league now, I mean, yeah, as Trev said, it's quite long. But, you know, like a proper one, you know, like a proper with all the South and North and everything.
Well, there currently is one where you see all the National League goals.
That's it, though, Chris. That's all it is. Just
that's
goal
it.
Show.
Just the goals.
That's okay. But still, those clubs are getting worldwide exposure. Okay, because remember, BT Sport is seen worldwide if you've got the right whatever
VPNs,
TV equipment.
But he's not dropping himself in it there at all, is he?
If the North and South aren't in that show, then those clubs should be allowed to put the highlights out. If they are part of it, hey, tell you what, if South Shields got to the National League North and they were told that they couldn't put the highlights out until the Monday because they're on BT Sport on Saturday night or Sunday morning, hey, I'd be happy with that. Fine by me.
They're not, yeah.
But they're not.
But that's what I'm saying. Do you think there's room, or do you think there's... Chris has left the room. He's that passionate about it. He's left the room.
It's that
complete angst about against BT Sports. But what I'm saying is, do you think there is appetite for a like a match of the day style, maybe even if it wasn't on BT, but maybe on YouTube, like could they do it on their YouTube channel or like a proper full-on National League, National League's Now for National League Store, tongue twister, National League North highlight show.
I think by the app, put it out via their app. You know, because the traffic they get through that, and I think as well, it goes back to the, you know, remember 2 years ago, the National League was elite and the North and South were not.
Yeah.
But you've got a TV deal that says we're all in one boat.
You've got roughly 70 clubs. How many hundreds of thousands of supporters from those clubs would tune in because their team's on there?
Yeah.
And as you know, I can't get to every game. So it used to be brilliant. I knew wherever I was in the world or in the UK or wherever, come sort of when I'm going for a beer at 7 o'clock in the evening, 8 o'clock, I could go on our YouTube channel and I see the goals that I either won, lost or drew the match. And it was brilliant because I felt connected still to match day. But kind of by the time I got to Monday afternoon, I'm kind of like, oh, I've moved on now. Oh, I'm back to the day job, kind of like moving like that. It's kind of like, oh, they just kind of just dropped on the YouTube channel.
Yeah, it is a little bit though. The higher up you go, the more, what's the word, tighter, stringent things get. Think this season you're going to get a lot of segregation. Last year you'd have got that nowhere unless Worthing had instigated it themselves in the ground. It's almost as if, I don't want to poop or anything, it's almost as if, like, you know, you go up, you have to live with everything else as it goes that way.
Yeah. And, no, of course. I think that's one thing that they could change, especially how non-leagues got more popular over the last few years. I think it'd be a lot more attractive. I mean, it'd be lovely to have sort of step three and below shows, but we know all clubs don't film it and stuff, and a lot of them are done through Vimeo.
Maybe it's our next project, James. We'll get the replay involved and we'll get something going.
Premier Non-League Podcast Saturday Show, yeah. But then we could take Pete to the mainstream. Pete and Chris as the commentators.
Yeah.
You know, they both do their job. You could
learn their little voiceovers, couldn't they? Yeah.
Who's going to be Martin Tyler? Who's going to be Andy Gray, though? That's what we need to know. Do you know what I mean?
Ronnie and I used to do the live stream during COVID. We did a full show. We used to do a show from 2:30 till 5:10.
Yeah,
there you go.
Louis, if you fancy it, give us a shout from your Instant Replay. If there's anyone else that's listening that fancies it, give us a shout. Maybe we're onto something. Adam Summerton, our newest fan. I'm sure you're listening right now. I'm sure you are on your way to Milan for the latest Milan derby or whatever you're doing, or Wrexham for your latest commentary project. But yeah, give it a little go. But we digress, guys. But you're talking about segregation, Trev. And unfortunately, this is where the souring goes of my National League South experience so far. Obviously, I was up in the commentary area with Pete, but there was some real, real disgusting behaviour from Dover fans at that first game. And, you know, obviously, you're there with your girls and, you know, luckily you weren't anywhere near the incident, but, you know, there were people with kids. And in our new fan zone, Chris, there was proper fisticuffs. Someone was getting their head kicked in on the ground, literally getting their head kicked in. And that's not the behaviour on the... I mean, these people were from Dover. And I first saw it where we got in the ground, I was having a pint before the game, and the Dover fans... A bunch of, I say fans, they're not fans, because even their own fans say they're idiots that have been banned from the club and they're idiots from elsewhere. But they came in and they started chanting Dover song, Worthing is an asshole, I want to go home, whatever, cool, whatever. I mean, if you've been to Dover, you get my drift. you can see where I'm coming from. But I'm not here to poo-poo Dover. I've got many cross-channel ferries from there over my years, so happy days. But I look at it and I think, hang on a second. This is the first day of the season. We're both in a new league here. You're giving a few songs. We're giving some songs back, like, you know, we're Worthing, Super Worthing, blah, 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 blah. Nothing aggressive. And you've got ones at the front looking like they're, well, they're all coked up, unfortunately, because you can just tell. But, like, slitting throats, you know, one want to pointing people out, I'm going to kill you. It's like, this is before the match. This is where no banter. Now, apparently the club, I'm not speaking in my club, but these are rumours I've heard. The club were warned about Dover's behaviour and some fans, because these bands are banned from the ground in Dover. It's a shame that Dover didn't pass their names on the pitches, but we don't really have that at this level. They got into the ground. They were causing problems. Obviously, someone got their head kicked in, was rushed to hospital. Could have been a hell of a lot worse. When you kick a head, you know how that organ, the brain, is so sensitive that one kick in the wrong place, the guy's dead. It could have been a nightmare first game. They luckily were kicked out, but unfortunately we had a new security firm. We had volunteer stewards still that aren't, you know, nothing against them. They're not used to this, but we all said segregation should be a thing. It's a shame, but I think segregation is going to happen a lot more. And I think the club should have done a hell of a lot better research, because, you know, whether it was money or not, they should have think that's kind of put a dampener on our our first day in history making day. And it's a shame that everyone's going to think of that in the future.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the higher you go in the pyramid, the more like the likelihood is that you'll encounter some trouble. We had trouble at South Shields about three seasons ago in the FA Trophy. We had Stockport County come to the Shields and their support. It was segregated. But even with the segregation, it kicked off. I think it was nasty. But I think also Stockport have been, some of their so-called supporters have been at it again. First day of the season, if I remember.
Oh, wasn't there a video of someone's head like on the ground and
tweet going around? Yeah. So there will be segregation, unfortunately, because nobody, you can't take the risk. If you've got volunteer stewards, you've got a certain amount of security. There's only so much you can do. Police don't want to get involved.
No.
Police don't want to get involved. So what else do you do?
That's where you could get fined as well, because if they're having to call the police out because there's a big riot there, you know, I was worried that the club, I don't know what's happened, you never might know, but the local cops could have fined them. They could have, like, you know, issued, like, you know, they could put a restriction on attendances, which would harm the club.
But it's the costs of getting the police there as well. For some non-league clubs, it's just not possible. So that's what's going to happen, because you've got, there's been trouble at certain places because you've got idiots who have got banning orders from Premier League, Championship grounds, et cetera, because they have got the CCTV. They can, you know, so these idiots are free to go wherever they want to go, and they will turn up. They will turn up.
Maybe there needs to be some sort of pub wash style list for non-league. You know, I know it might be a bit of a complicated subject, but especially for the regions, because it's hard. But, you know, if you've got someone on the ball,
that's a lot to police. And again, you're asking volunteers to, you know,
say no to someone.
It's impossible.
You know, and then all you do as well is, if it doesn't happen at your level, it drops down one more and then one more. And you're not going to get segregation at the county league, but you can turn up there and,
yeah, true.
You know, anybody.
Do you guys think it's ironic that the FA have this week brought out their clean up our game thing? Is it not a little bit too late and sort of half-assed attempt? Should they not have brought it out before the season? We had loads of problems last season in non-league national. You know, we had it in full-time professional leagues. Clean up our game. A lot of clubs have shared the tweets this week and everything like that. Is it too little too late, or is it just, do you think it's acting on?
What it is, they didn't want to put it out whilst the Lionesses were going for glory. You know, it was all about the Lionesses, and now they've won. Now they can focus on something else.
Yeah.
To have put that out at that time because of the Lionesses' success, either it would tarnish the Lionesses a little bit because they brought something out, or not many people would have been watching that because they're watching the Lionesses. So
should they not have done it on opening weekend? Because that was after the Lionesses.
Well, yeah, but don't forget. James, that people kicked off this weekend. Not everyone kicked off on the 6th, did they?
But I think any league, and it should have been brought out maybe the first league, even the first EFL games and stuff from Premier League.
Yeah.
You know, but, I mean, let's just touch on the Lionesses. What an amazing moment for this country. No matter what anyone says, what an amazing achievement by the Lionesses to finally bring a trophy home for England. It was great. You know, it's not about professional football, which they are. Professional football is in the women's game, but, you know, I think it could see Trev, as you said, your girls, you know, it's before the Lionesses won, but, you know, even last summer they were getting involved. But, you know, to see the women do so well, it's got to be inspiring to get young girls interested in supporting the game, playing the game. And, you know, hopefully we've got a new breed of football coming to this country.
Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? I mean, both of my girls wanted to go to the game in October when the Americans,
USA game,
come over, so we got tickets for that. So they're both.
Oh, you actually managed to get tickets.
Yeah.
If they decide not to go, I'm happy to take that.
Yeah, I know, mate. You are the child. Yeah, unfortunately.
I know. I mean,
well, you act like one, but you know.
All right, mother. Sound like my mother's talking to me right now.
It's a fantastic game to watch. Really. I caught a bit of it while I was on holidays. For the earlier games, I didn't catch much of the quarter final, but saw the semi final was a flipping pre season game at Barnets. Only saw the last 20 minutes of that, but it's nice to have that through the summer as well, and sort of lifting you know the nation a little bit with what else is going on with the blooming cost of living crisis and all this.
Yeah,
you can forget it for 5 minutes and watch a game of football.
Have you actually literally got my iPad right in front of you? Because you've just linked in nicely to the next subject.
No, mate, I'm just full of great ideas. You should know that by now.
We're so incognito, not incognito, we're so in sync here, mate. You know, I was going to mention the energy crisis, and I was sitting on the sofa before coming on air with you guys, and I was writing down notes, and my wife goes, "Oh God, are you trying to turn it all political?" I was like, "No, Vicky, I'm not. I'm trying to talk about the energy crisis because the Isthmian League has," and I'm not sure if the Northern Premier and that lot have said, but they've said they'll enable earlier games in the winter to save on energy costs, because we know a lot of those clubs don't have the latest, greatest LED lighting. They have the old halogen bulbs, which do cost a lot. Great idea, I think, but is it going to upset the apple cart, or could it be a bonus? Because you might be able to get people, you know, like I know for a fact last year, Brighton, if they were playing at 5 o'clock, a lot of people still wouldn't come to Worthing, so wouldn't get in time. But if Worthing had been kicking off at 1 o'clock, 1:30, 2 o'clock to end, they'd be able to get to the game. So it could be good for non-league in that respect as well. What do you guys think?
Well, yeah, to me, it's a two-pronged thing, because three? Because you kick off earlier, say 1:30, 2 o'clock, you've got people coming into the grounds earlier, potentially staying even longer if they're going to stay after a game. So not only are you saving on electricity, you've actually got the opportunity to earn more, because people are going to be in the grounds earlier and hopefully will just stay just as long and into the night. But also, when this is going to be at its peak, which is end of November to end of December, our darkest time of year, there's no Premier League or Championship football because of the World Cup. So the non-league game has a magnificent opportunity to really try and make hay. It could be non-league day for a month.
Chris, we're so in sync. You're like me and Trevor tonight, because I was going to lead on to that as well and say the World Cup is an amazing opportunity.
It's just natural. Yeah. What it is, we're singing from the same hymn sheet here.
It's why we're going to be an award-nominated podcast very soon with the Football Writing Awards.
There's no room for Peter Gaz left on this, is there?
No.
We all need to put our hands out with them, and like sort of the auras have got to go around. But you're so right, because I think for the first time, for the first time in a long time, the Trident is it the same with the Northern Premier? Was it the Trident Leagues have done it, or is it just the Isthmian?
Yeah. I don't know anything about the North. It's just the Isthmian, as far as I'm aware.
Basically,
the Trident Leagues normally try and do things as similarly as possible.
So we've got this opportunity, and we've got the opportunity to fall more people in love with non-league, because as we know, there's going to be a month-long break. Is it up to League One, or is it Championship and Premier League only?
Championship, Premier League. I think that League One depends on how many players.
Yeah, because I think there's a few Charlton players that are going to be in the World Cup.
Some of them, when they were in League One, they might have had the odd game postponed because of that. But as far as I'm aware, it's Premier League, Championship.
So it's such a great opportunity, isn't it, to make people fall in love with non-league, put money into the club. I mean, think of that. You know, we look at this where one of the main reasons I was so pissed off about not having the World Cup in the summer. I mean, look at the beautiful weather we've had. We would have had a scorcher like it was in 2018. We'd have been out in the beer gardens. The pubs would have been making so much money up. They lost throughout COVID and everything like that. You know, it would have been great for the economy. But then you're turning around. And now, of course, because of it being in the winter, we could talk about money in Qatar and not fair and all that till the cows go home. But I think it's such a good opportunity for clubs now to make that money back, and they can use it in their social clubs. Because I mean, it'll be great to be watching some of these matches in the bar after a game. You've seen your team play, you've seen a bit earlier, you've got a 5 o'clock kickoff, because that will probably be the 7 or 8 o'clock in Qatar. It'll be brilliant.
Yeah. So you'll have a morning kickoff. Clubs could, even if there's an early kickoff, it might be, I don't know, 10 o'clock in the morning or something like that.
It's a paradise.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Yeah, you get a couple, wouldn't you? It'd be bloody brilliant. But it's one of those things that's going to be another exciting moment for the season, and something I'm really looking forward to, because I generally think these early kickoffs, as far as we know, it's only, I mean, if the energy crisis gets worse, it's whoever the new Conservative leader is going to be. I think it's an opportunity for them to make their mark and hopefully they do the right thing for the country. But it isn't a political podcast. We look at the fact is that hopefully if it is still going to be an energy problem, then maybe they'll allow it to all of non-league and they'll be able to, like, you know, some games will be able to kick off earlier. And we can make the most of it because it will be fantastic. The atmosphere in clubs, and it will drive so much revenue, as you say, to clubs if we can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an opportunity.
Little shout out for Bedfont, whose pitch was ruined in wildfires. Did you see that? The pitch was completely obliterated. Yeah. They'd got it prepared for the new season and I think
so sad.
Sparks and it completely ruined it. So that was a little note I saw across the world of non-league. It was not nice to see because especially at non-league, you can't just replace a grass-grown pitch, but Bedfont FC, the other Bedfont team, let them use the Bedfont Sports, I think it was, and Bedfont FC let them use their artificial turf.
Yeah, I've got two shout outs. They're both Sussex based. My late keeper Aaron Stenning's played 500 games for the club now at that level, which is no higher than step five. We've been step six, I think, for a majority of their time if they even have got step five. Fantastic. Really, you're not gonna, you know, you to get that at county league level, one person at one club's a, you know, pretty amazing. So I think he deserves a shout out for that. And East Preston in the same division have been out handing leaflets out through letterboxes, giving people free entry to the game against Montpellier this week. And they said this morning that if you don't get a voucher through your door, bring a household bill or something that proves you live in the area as well and get them in for free. So fair play to those two in Sussex.
What a way to get some extra support. Brilliant. Hopefully, obviously they suffered relegation last year, could get the fans behind them to get back up a division where they are. So good little setup we got down East Preston. Been there once, I know you've been there a bit more, and one of the friends of the podcast, Pete, he's one of their media manager down there or something, isn't he? Good luck to him. Guys are kind of starting to wrap up here. I think it's time to touch on the sponsorship. Obviously, we know Trevor has sponsored with footballwriting.co.uk the last couple of seasons, but for personal reasons, he decided not to renew this year. So it leaves a little gap in the market for us to get a new sponsor on board. And guys, as you know, we honestly, hand on heart, don't make any money out of this. We do it out of the love of the game. We do it. We take our own time. We edit it. We conduct interviews in our own time. We fit it in for our busy schedules. So we don't take a cut from this. Even this season, you'll see we've even taken a sponsorship out at Horsham FC to promote the podcast for one of their players. It's 50 quid that we've got out of our own pocket. So it's not through advertising, not through sponsors. We do it for the love. So all we ask is to keep bringing this to you, is to have a sponsor that can help support the sort of setup costs for putting it on podcast platforms. So what we are, if you are interested, it's up for renewal now. If anyone is out there and would like to contact Trev, myself, Chris, Pete, Gaz, or at the PNLP on social media, on Facebook, or at the PNLP at hotmail.co.uk, hotmail.com, at the PNLP at hotmail.com. If you'd like to be interested in sponsorship, it's not expensive. You get your, as Trevor said, you get your logo on every episode. We talk about you. If you want to come on the podcast and discuss, I mean, it'd be great if it was someone from the world of football. We could have you on as a guest. We could do a special episode for you. You know, we can put your logo on. It'll be on our social media every episode for the future. Trevor's episodes they'll all still be on there with his logo on it for the future. So if anyone sees, they'll be like, oh, what's that? They can still do it. So if you have got a little bit of budget aside for supporting these five non-lead addicts, we'd really, really like it if you could get in touch with us. If we don't get a sponsorship at the moment, it will continue. We'll have to dig in deep to our pockets. But obviously, it just helps us out. It helps us bring better content. And I said, we're not making it for a profit. We all got day jobs. I mean, it'd be nice if it was our day job, but I don't think we've got that sort of requirement and following yet. But we've seen numbers grow over the summer. We've seen the comments you send us, because we do see every comment. We try and respond to every comment we get. And we're not blowing our own trumpet. It's not really quite a good journey this season. And we'd love if someone could come along with that journey for us. So if you are, again, at the PNLP on social media, or just contact any of us, if you hear this and see us on a match day at our respective clubs, then please do speak to us. So I'm sure somewhere out there could have some sort of marketing budget and we could discuss your needs and requirements if you want to look at sponsoring. So I think really, guys, that's wrapping it up. Maybe in the next couple of weeks, I might be able to get to Worthing versus Chippenham on Saturday. It depends if work's kind to me. Chris, who have you got this coming weekend, the next couple of weekends?
Saturday away to Marine, who of course played Spurs in the FA Cup two seasons ago. So, and then, but it's like last season, it's full on Saturday, Tuesday till the end of October.
I'm only possibly going to one match with that Worthing game because on the 27th, I'm actually going to see Charlton versus Wickham at Wickham Wanderers. Reason is because Wickham's very own Jasper Pattenden, who used to play for Worthing, has invited us to the game. So I've got to go and support a former non-league player and also try and bite my tongue when I'm probably sitting amongst a load of Wickham fans if Charlton scores. So probably be Jasper. I said to him, just whatever you do, don't score, please, mate. So so there we go. Trev, where are you in the next couple of weeks?
Horsham and Carshalton on Saturday.
Guys, it's been a pleasure. It feels... strange how it's come around so quickly. It seems like, I know we've done the summer specials, but I was all in the room talking about non-league football again and over that wide subject. I'm sure the next couple of weeks will keep us very busy with plenty of subjects to talk about, plenty of, you know, that's another three games by the time we next come on air. You know, you're going to start seeing, you know, some trends and surprises are going to keep growing. You know, we've had the FA Cup for extra preliminary round already. You know, you're going to get more FA and trophy and VARs and all that stuff. All the cup competitions start again soon. It's just, we love non-league. It's going to continue. I'm sure Gaz and Pete will be back next time to add their thoughts of the sort of ongoing season and seeing what it's been like. But if you want to give us a follow and you don't already, at the PNLP on social media. As we say in all our tweets, and I think Trev could agree, Trev's really good on the social media for us. And he says, look, if you just listen to it and enjoy it, just tell your mate. Just give another listen because it helps us out. You know, it does help us out. You know, if we're trying to attract a new sponsor, and we can say, look, we've got all these people listening, we've done all these summer specials, it's gonna really help us out. And you know, from the bottom of our hearts, any recommendation does really, really mean a lot to us, doesn't it, boys?
Certainly does.
Well, I think on that note, we can leave it there. But it's been a pleasure, guys. Episode 35 is done. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. And just stay safe. And I guess I'll be seeing you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.